Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so we want to rejoice and be glad in it because we are in His presence to study the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and bless You today for the privilege we have to be gathered together, to gather here together. We bless You because You are a good and gracious God, a God who loves us with unconditional, unchanging, and unfailing love, a God who will be there for us all the way to the very end in this life and also in the life soon to come. Lord, we pray and commit our study to You today. We ask that Your Holy Spirit will speak to us. Open our hearts, open our ears to hear all that You want us to hear, and we will give You the praise as You work in our hearts to transform us to the people You want us to be in this life, ready for the life soon to come. These things we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, the story is told of a New York couple who received through the mail two tickets to a smash Broadway hit. Oddly, the gift arrived without a note, and they wondered who had sent it to them. But still, they attended the show and enjoyed it immensely. It was a free ticket as far as they were concerned, and they enjoyed the show immensely. Now here comes trouble. Returning to their apartment, they discovered that their bedroom had been ransacked. Valuable furs and jewels were missing. On the pillow was this simple note: Now you know. Now you know. You see, like that nameless thief, a false teacher knows what people want and appeals to their desire. He doesn't wear a lapel pin to warn of his lies, but he comes disguised as a representative of the truth. He claims he will enrich lives, but those who follow him often learn at a high cost that they have been deceived, that they have been duped. Well, since even believers can be deceived by false teachers, it is crucial that through the Spirit, they protect themselves from the deceptive gifts that false teachers offer. Just like the deceptive gift that was offered to the couple. They embraced that gift and then found out that they lost their furs and their jewels. Well, this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me to declare to you today at this special hour. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is so desirous and determined to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth in order to change those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ more into His blessed image. The blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. And to convict the unregenerate of their sin of unbelief in order to bring them to genuine personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the sustainer of the universe and the savior of lost sinners. So here then is our message in a nutshell. Will you please pay attention to it with an open heart and an open mind? Here's the message. Christians must be on guard against false teachers who arise within the church with the aim of misleading them and undermining their confidence in Christ and His truth. I repeat, Christians must be on guard against false teachers who arise within the church with the aim of misleading them and undermining their confidence in Christ and His truth. Folks, friends, fellow believers, faithful followers of Christ in the fold, in the flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to make it clear to us today that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a responsibility of being on guard against false teachers. As we begin today, our verse-by-verse study in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible is going to warn true believers to beware of false teachers. You see, Peter's inspired discussion of true prophecy, which we studied in chapter 1, which we just concluded last week, now leads him to an extended denunciation of false teaching in the churches. How many of you here believe that there is false teaching in the churches today? If you don't believe it, listen carefully to what Peter is going to teach us through the Holy Spirit. These false teachers were especially dangerous because they arose within the church and undermined the confidence of Christians in the person of Christ, their Lord and their Savior. I tell you, friends, what these false teachers did in the days of Peter, they are now doing in our days. And that is why it is very important for you and me to be on guard against these false teachers and their false teaching, because they can mislead you and take you down the wrong path in life. Now, please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. Please listen carefully to these words from the Apostle Peter, who was speaking by the authority and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." This is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May the Lord add His blessing to the recital of His holy word. We have here before us, folks and friends and fellow believers in the Lord Jesus, a passage of scripture that can be accurately described as a passage of what? Denial and destruction. By the way, in the original, 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, the passage we have today is only one sentence. But the most literal translation, that is the New American Standard Bible, translated it in two sentences, trying to keep close to that original. If you have the NIV translated it in five sentences. So it broke their thought. But in the original, verse 1 to verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2, is just one single sentence. That's just by the way. But I said this passage of scripture is a passage of what? Denial and destruction. First of all, our passage of study is a passage of denial because, please listen carefully now, it graphically portrays the denial of Christ, the Master, by false teachers. I tell you, friends and fellow believers, false teachers do not delight in Christ. They do not depend on Jesus Christ. They do not devote themselves to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not dedicated to Christ. Rather, they deny Him. They disown Him. They disdain Him. And they disregard Him. Please beware of wolves in sheep clothing. They may use Christian lingo, but deep down in their hearts, they deny Christ. This is why I say to you, this passage is a passage of denial. Second, this passage is a passage of destruction because, listen carefully, it gravely presents the eternal destruction of false teachers. Through the Holy Spirit, Peter emphasizes the destruction of the false teachers. In verse 1, he speaks of their bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Then again in verse 3, he solemnly says their destruction is not asleep. Their destruction is personified as an executioner that is alert and awake, ready for its time to strike. You see, Peter is assuring believers that God will take care of the false teachers in His own time. His destruction of them will be swift, sudden, severe, and sure. Today, it may seem to you and me that God is taking a long nap. He's just napping. Today, it may seem to us God is doing very little about the false teachers that are undermining the Christian faith. But Peter says, although delay makes it seem that false teachers have escaped God's judgment, divine destruction or judgment of them is an undeniable reality that is to come upon them when God says it's time. Well, what I've done so far is simply to whet your spiritual appetite for what we are about to study. So please allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present this passage of Scripture to you from start to finish. First of all, if you want to take notes, it will be easy for you because all my points will come with a P. First of all, we will take a careful look at His clear and compelling teaching, focusing on the prediction of the arrival of false teachers in verse 1a. Looking back into the Old Testament, the history of God's people in the Old Testament, who were often plagued by false prophets, false and lying prophets, through the Holy Spirit, Peter now predicts that the church, that is born again believers, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, must expect false teachers to come in. It's a bold prediction Peter makes. Second, we will discuss the practices of false teachers in verses 1b and 3a. I'm breaking it up a little bit. Perhaps anticipating the question, Apostle Peter, how can we identify false teachers you are telling us will be coming into the churches? Please tell us how we can recognize them and steer away from them. Well, Peter says, Well, I'm so glad to hear your question, and I'll answer it for you. I have certain things to say to you about their actions. Remember the popular saying, action speaks what? Louder than words. He says, I'll reveal to you certain things about their actions. Take note of these key practices or their actions, because they will tell you a lot about their heart condition. What are the practices of false teachers? That will help us recognize them for who they really are. Well, we will soon answer that question. The Bible itself will answer that question for us. The Bible doesn't leave that question to you and me to come up with our own answers. The Bible itself has answers for you and for me. Third, we will examine the promising influences of false teachers in verse 2. I tell you, friends and fellow believers, false teachers and their false teaching produce promising influences or favorable influences as far as their cause is concerned on others wherever they ply their trade. In fact, the Bible is going to speak strongly and specifically to us about two promising influences or effects brought about through the work of false teachers among the churches. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that because false teaching is not pleasing to God, it will not influence or impact people, even people in the church. Please listen. False teachers get great results from their false teaching. That is what I'm calling the promising influences of false teachers. They get good results from their false teaching. And the Bible is going to show us those great results or good results, which are called the promising influences. So what are the promising influences brought about among people by false teachers? You'll be amazed at the Bible's answer. Well, fourth and finally, we will turn our attention to the Bible's solemn teaching centering on divine punishment of false teachers in verse 1c and verse 3b. Will God let false teachers off the hook? Will God let them continue in their destructive and deceptive ways without bringing them to justice? Verses 1c and 3b clearly and concisely answer these questions for us. Today it may look to us that God is sleeping or dozing when it comes to dealing with false teachers. Today it may look to us that God is doing nothing or very little about the cancer of false teachers and their false teaching. But please make no mistake about this. In God's own time, He will assuredly and authoritatively bring swift and sudden destruction upon false teachers as He executes His righteous judgment or divine punishment. I tell you, folks, this is a solemn and sobering passage of Scripture. If it were not in the Bible, I would have not talked about it. But because it's in the Bible, and I've committed myself to teach only what is in the Bible, I'll have to speak about it. Well, having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is willing to impress upon your hearts and upon my heart. He's so enthused today to impress precious lessons on your heart. So we begin, first of all, with his teaching, focusing on the prediction of the arrival of false teachers in verse 1a. We all know about prediction. Every night we watch the TV, the weatherman predicts what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. Or the weatherman sometimes gets it, other times they miss it altogether. But when you come to the Bible, when the Bible predicts something, it is something that is what? Sure and certain. It will happen in God's appointed time. So through the Holy Spirit, Peter is going to make it clear to us today that just as there arose false prophets alongside the true prophets of God in Old Testament times, so also there will arise false teachers who try to mislead believers within the churches. So please listen, we are about to be told about the coming, the influences, and the doom of the false teachers in this dark and appalling chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2 is such a chapter that is so dark, but it has some light in it for the believer. Led by the Holy Spirit, Peter begins chapter 2 by predicting the coming of false teachers with certainty and conviction of heart. Would you please listen again to Peter's prediction of the coming of false teachers as we see it once again in the first part of verse 1. The Bible says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be what? False teachers among you. Notice verse 1 begins with but. This means the Bible is now introducing a contrast to us. But you ask, what contrast is being introduced here when the Bible begins chapter 2 with but? Well, please listen, at the end of chapter 1, the Bible spoke of true prophecy and its origin. That is what we learned last week. True prophets in the Old Testament were carried along by the Holy Spirit and spoke exactly what God wanted them to say. And that was preserved for us in the Bible. But now Peter says, lest you forget, I want to remind you that there were also false prophets among the people. Now the question is, who are the people that Peter is referring to here in chapter 2, verse 1? Well, the people, that phrase refers to God's chosen people, Israel. It is a common, whenever you see the people in the New Testament, Laos is what it's called. If you see that, it refers to Israel. So the contrast the Bible is presenting to us here is that although Israel, the chosen people of God, had a notable succession of true prophets from Moses or even Abraham down to Jeremiah and down to Malachi, she, Israel, was often plagued by false or lying prophets. Time will not permit me to tell you about all the false prophets that arose among the people of Israel in the Old Testament times. But please allow me to share with you three passages in which we see the work of false prophets, because it will help you appreciate what Peter is saying here, and it will help you take his warning seriously. So there are three examples that I want to share with you. The first example of the work of false prophets among God's people, which I would like to share with you now, took place in the time of King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah. In other words, this happened during the era of the divided kingdom. See, Israel started as one kingdom, one nation under God. But at some point, when Solomon sinned against the Lord, God divided the kingdom. So we had what we call the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So the story happened when there were two kingdoms in the nation of Israel. So please listen carefully as I read this story. You just have to listen carefully to it as I try to read it at a pace that you hear and understand. In 1 Kings chapter 22 is where I want to read our first story for us. We begin in verse 2. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you not know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and we are still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram, that is Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." So he, in other words, he said, "I'm going with you." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, he was a good king. He sought God. He was saved by God. "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, so here 400 people, were prophets, were saying, "Go, go, the Lord will give it to you." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, one of the prophets, the son of Kenaniah, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with this you will gall the Arameans until they are consumed." All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." They are using the name of the Lord. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold, now the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I shall speak." That is my motto in my preaching ministry. So I learned from this man. But when he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Now he was trying to tell the king what he wanted to hear. Then the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. So here is the true prophecy given by the true prophet that Ahab was going to be defeated in battle. Now, we pick up the end of the story because it's a long story. I'll read verse 37 to 38. Let me read a part of it. Then Zedekiah, the false prophet, the son of Kenaniah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "How did the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?" Micaiah said, "Behold, you shall see it on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself." Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.'" Micaiah said, "If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Listen, all you people." And then the end of the story says, so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. So all the false prophets said, "Go, you win." But there was one prophet who said, "You will not come back from this battle." So folks, do you see how, for yourself, how bold, brave, and blatant the false prophets were in proclaiming their false prophecies among God's people? But wait, you'll see more. The second example of the work of false prophets I want to share with you comes from Jeremiah chapter 23. The prophet Jeremiah was from Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin. That means he comes from the least tribe of Israel, which is Benjamin. But God called him to prophesy in Judah and Jerusalem, which we call the southern kingdom. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13, listen to what we begin to hear. "Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I'm going to feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said, you have peace.' And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, 'Calamity will not come to you upon you.'" Then in verse 25, God himself is speaking. He says, "I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, 'I had a dream, I had a dream.' How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood? Even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another." So that's another sin. We see how deceptive and devious false prophets were among the people. But wait, you'll see one more. And the third example is in Jeremiah chapter 28. This is in verse 1. It says, "Now in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, with which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'm also going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen." So when the false prophet said his false prophecy, Jeremiah pretended like it was true. So he said, "Amen." And then Jeremiah says, "Yet now hear this word which I'm about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms, of war and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent." Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, even so I will break within 2 years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations." Then the prophet Jeremiah went away. And then God gave a word to Jeremiah to speak to the prophet. And that is where I'll end this story. It says, "Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, 'Listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. And you have made these people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year, you are going to die because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord.' So Hananiah the prophet, the false prophet, died in the same year, in the 7th month." So folks, you see how confident and committed a false prophet like Hananiah was in prophesying falsehood. And he met his destruction because God pronounced judgment on him because he was leading people astray. He was causing people to trust in a lie. So with that graphic picture in your mind, notice the Bible says in verse 1a, it says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you." Now the question is, who is a false teacher? Well, the Greek word for false teacher is one word, pseudodidaskaloi. The singular form is pseudodidaskalos. It occurs only here in the New Testament. You'll never find it again. Please listen. A false teacher is one who teaches what is not true. In other words, a false teacher is one who teaches falsehood. I tell you, friends, a false teacher tells people what they want to hear and not the truth they need to hear. Please listen. A false teacher is one who knows the truth and deliberately lies for some purpose. That purpose could either be for personal gain or for popular applause of the people he leads. This is why false teachers are the danger of the church today. With their false teaching, they lead people astray and further away from God instead of closer to God. Please make no mistake about this. A false teacher will take you down the wrong path in life. He or she will lead you in the wrong direction. Now, will you please notice the certainty of the prediction of the arrival of the false teachers?
The Bible says there will also be false teachers. Notice Peter in the Spirit uses the language of certainty. He says there will also be, not there may or perhaps. He says in the Spirit, what I'm predicting to you is not left to chance or coincidence. He says what I'm being led to predict to you is certain. It will assuredly come to pass. Therefore, it should not be a surprise to you when it happens. Earlier in his teaching on the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that false prophets will come among them in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Now, Peter is predicting the arrival of what? False teachers. So the Lord Jesus predicted the coming of false prophets. The Holy Spirit led Peter to predict the arrival of false teachers. Now, would you please also notice the camp in which the false teachers will be setting their base of operation? Where will the false teachers set up their base of operation? Well, inside the church or the churches. Notice the Bible clearly and concisely says, among you. So if we were a church here, we can expect what? A false teacher to be among us. Just as the false prophets in the Old Testament set up their base of operation among God's people Israel, so also the false teachers of our day will set up their camp or their base of operation in the churches. They will associate with the church. They will attend church services with us, with true believers. They will attach themselves to the fellowship of believers. And they will appear to be like one of us. Peter says, by the Spirit, the church must also expect false teachers to come in. So please do not take the prediction of the coming of false teachers among the churches lightly. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you must and I must constantly be on guard against false teachers. Why? Because false teachers will take their place inside the church. They will pose as ministers of the gospel. This, my friend, is what makes the danger so great. You see, if they came right out and announced, please folks, listen, we've come into your churches as false prophets or false teachers, people will be on guard against them. But they are masters of deception. They carry the Bible and use Christian lingo, though using them to mean something entirely different. Bible teacher W.A. Criswell describes the false teachers as follows, and I want to quote him as how he pictures false teachers. Listen carefully. A suave, affable, personable, scholarly man who claims to be the friend of Christ. He preaches in the pulpit. He writes learned books. He publishes articles in the religious magazines. He attacks Christianity from within. He makes the church and the school a lodging place for every unclean and hateful bird. He leaves the meal with the doctrine of the Sadducees. End of quote. End quote. What a colorful and compelling description of the false teacher. Believer, beware. Actually, similar predictions occur in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, concerning the entrance of false brothers. So we have false teachers, false prophets, and then false brothers. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 4, Paul predicts the entrance of false brothers, Pseudadelphos. Sudadelphos into a Christian gathering. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, Paul, through the Spirit, predicts the entrance concerning Satan's masqueraders. This will be, the Bible says, Satan is an angel of light, and his ministers also parade among the churches as an angel of light. Believer in Jesus Christ, be freshly reminded today that false teachers are the danger for the church today. As such, you as a believer in Jesus Christ must be on guard against them and their false teaching. You must be careful to avoid the false teachers of our day. Please listen, believer in Jesus Christ, any book, tape, or DVD series or TV message must be carefully and thoroughly evaluated according to God's word, which is eternal and enduring. Lest you fall for the false teaching of false teachers of our day who are bound in the churches. I tell you, friends, believers today would do well to heed Peter's warnings against false teachers, because the danger is very, very great. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you have no protection against false teachers in our day. They will deceive you with their smooth, sleek, and sweet talk. In fact, they will lead you in the wrong direction in life. You will be one of their victims, one of their preys to devour. But today you can be delivered from being a victim or prey of false teachers who are bound in our day. How will you be delivered? Or simply turn to Jesus today, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Tell Jesus today that you are a sinner in need of his saving grace and his forgiveness. Trust in Jesus today with childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins, that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy and righteous God. And thank Jesus today for his willingness to save you and set you apart for his purposes, both in this life and in the life soon to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, a reminder to us that the church is living in dangerous days, because we have people that you yourself knew of long ages ago, and you told us they will be coming among us. Lord, I pray for each believer in this gathering today that your Holy Spirit will strengthen and give them wisdom to discern false teachers and their false teaching, and steer away from the false teaching that will mislead and undermine their confidence in you. We thank you for your love for us, that you knew of these things and you warn us ahead of them, so that when they happen, we will not be surprised. And now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And all God's people said, Amen.